DJC.
For WHM, portable radio test.
For WHM, this is KO4HKX. You're making a repeater, but you're hard to make out.
Is that any better?
That's the static with you, but I can hear you a little better.
I'm on my handheld on a portable antenna, so just making sure it's still getting out. I just got a new antenna in the mail.
Well, from where you're at, you're doing a real good job with that.
Appreciate it. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear.
4HKX, clear.
AO.
4YO, I believe it was. This is KO4HKX.
4AO. I heard my cousin on there, Chad. I was just going to holler at him. KO4NUE, you still listening? Over. He's going to tell him he sounded good on the radio. I'm about to go grab a bite to eat. We'll catch you again sometime. 7-3, I'll be clear. This is Kilo Yankee 4, Alpha Oscar.
3, starter body, KO4HKX, clear.
Alpha 7, Japan, mobile.
M4WHM, N0TR.
Mobile.
WHM, monitoring.
4DJW, mobile.
HKX, monitoring.
HKX, W4DJW. Is that Patrick?
Roger that.
Hey, Patrick. How?
And how about you today, Dave?
I am ready for the weekend, and it is officially the weekend, unless I get called back into work, and that'll cancel the official weekend.
That doesn't happen.
Exactly. Hey, what happened? Somebody left the window open or something. Some cold air came down here.
Now we'll be at the first of the week and forgot to pick it up.
Okay, well, let's not let that happen again, all right? We're done for the year. It's not winter anymore.
Just trying to share.
Get better unshared. Because the weather's so great. You get a little taste of the seasons, but not so much that it's, you know, a whole lot of work like it is like up north or down toward the equator.
Yeah, I enjoy coming down during the day in the wintertime, and it's nice and warm down there to me. Even though it's 40 degrees, it's much warmer than where I'm at right now.
Up in France, there was a mountain right next to us called the Puy de Dôme. And I remember going up to the Puy de Dôme in the morning to jump off the mountain with a parapente. It's like a parachute, but it's only like a pie slice wedge of a parachute. And you fly around on it, kind of like hang gliders are here, but they're called parapentes there, and they're a little bit different. But then when you come back, it's cold. It's really, really cold. And when you come down the mountain, down to the valley where you live, it's nice and toasty. It feels really, really good.
Around in a short sleeve shirt all winter long because, like I say, it's just much warmer down there than what I'm used to.
Just with shorts and short sleeve shirt, and it's cold outside, but it warms up before you get out of the vehicle.
Some of that. I don't wear shorts. Just not a sight anybody wants to see.
Same way. I don't wear shorts much either. I got a drawer full of them. My wife bought for me when we got married. That's where they sit, right there in the drawer.
Quit buying those. The neon bulbs started blinding her.
Don't get out and see sunshine very much, huh?
Not since I was a kid.
I guess it's probably a lot of guys are like that, but that's just as well. Where I'm going, I usually don't need my legs exposed anyway. Now, if I was riding bicycles and it was hot outside and I was sweating and I needed the cooling, the extra cooling surface, that might be different, but that's not the case.
So are you going bird hunting again today?
Yeah, but it's a different kind. It's not fishing. That was fishing at LJ. No, that was bird hunting. Yeah, that was at KFC. I got to go pick up an edger I left at Lowe's. I haven't ever picked it up yet. That's what I told my wife, though. They've got those ego, whatever it is, equipment, and everybody was begging them for years to build an edger. And so they finally built an edger. And I never could get one when they were at Home Depot. And now they've moved over to Lowe's. And they're saying they've got edgers. So I'm going to go over there and pick up an edger, and then I'm going to go buy Zaxby's. So we're not hunting bird at KFC today. We're hunting bird at Zaxby's today. We're going to see how the hunting is over at this other hill.
Bag something.
Guaranteed nowadays. It's not like back in caveman days where some days you got lucky and some days you were food. You're, instead of getting food, you were all food.
Zaxby's now at KFC, KF4GPA.
Don't like your 11 herbs and spices and the secret recipe?
I like it in all that grease they got.
See, better. My wife likes Zaxby's better, so she wins every now and then. I win every now and then. Anyway, you guys, I'm jumping out to go in and pick up this trimmer, and I'll be back out in a little bit. W4DJW.
Me too. I'm in line at Burger King right now. KF4GPA.
Don't have me beat. I'm still sitting at the house.
Patrick, if you're at the house, KF4WHM.
There's only leftovers here, so leftover lasagna, so I may have that.
Well, leftovers. I got leftovers Guthrie's chicken where I went hunting. Guthrie's is to me a lot better than Zaxby's.
Recognize Guthrie's, so it must be something down there.
This is a local chain that started here in the southeast, and it's just put one in Hartwall about 6 months ago. So, or not even that long ago, actually, about 4 months ago. So, but used to find it in Athens, but it's mainly over in Alabama and Mississippi now.
Heard of it, so I'll have to give it a try sometime when I'm down that way.
Disappointed, I can assure you.
Down that way near as much as I used to, though. Theo, was you trying out there with the new antenna?
878 Bridgecom. I turned the power up to 7 watts. That's its max. And I got it with a little 5-foot antenna made by Ed Fong, who invented it out in California back in the 90s. It's just you stick it in a piece of schedule 20 PVC pipe. It comes with the end caps and everything, and you just hook to it. And it seems to do a pretty good job.
Well, if you made it that far on that little radio,
get a good signal into the repeater, as long as I'm using an external antenna. On the one that comes with it, I can get in it, but it's got a lot of white noise to it.
Surprising how far those radio waves will carry.
I was in Watkinsville on the other side of Athens and was talking to the Crawfordville repeater and was talking to Daryl Manning, AF4E, in Calhoun Falls, South Carolina the other day. So I had it up about 40 foot in a tree, so I was really surprised.
I was going to try to work on my HF antenna set up today, but, man, I've got a headache, and it just wouldn't quit, so I didn't get to it.
The reason I got to play around with mine is I took off early from work and got home, and it was in the mail, and I was like, well, everything else is going to have to wait. I'm going to be in the house all day because of rain tomorrow, so I thought I'd get out and play today.
Tomorrow I'll probably be trying to study for my general and maybe try to finish up some of these BridgeCom videos from the university.
Then for my general right now, I'm contemplating targeting June for a test over in Athens. They test every other month, and I ain't really sure I want to get into the HF, but I just want to go ahead and get my general just to have it, have that option.
For HKX Friday, I made my first 10-meter contact this week on Monday.
WHM ID. Well, that's good. The where was the contact at?
He was up in Rochester, New York.
Little trip. Like I said, on the DMR, I'm starting in a different state, and I've talked to some scattered, but I've actually talked to a couple of guys up in that area on DMR.
Yeah, since we talked there a minute ago, I give a shout out on the North Carolina one and got a response from back from Charlotte. So just seeing what's out there, it's all you can do.
If you don't call, you can't get an answer. So like I said, I've just been sort of playing with it, but I'm going to try to get more serious and learn even more about it. It's, like I said, I'm just happy to have the code plug like I want it now, so that's the main thing.
I was just sitting here watching was the part on the CTS on how to build the code plug and how to put in your analog stations and all that. That's what I was watching.
Some good videos. They do a good job explaining it, and you can watch them and usually go do it or pause it and go along with them and get it done. That's what I was doing.
I need two computers, one to watch it and one to actually have it loaded on so you can work through it at the same time.
I got dual monitors, and I'll have it playing on one and working on the other. That's been a big help. My work computer at home is pretty decent. It loads it up pretty quick, so probably shouldn't use my work computer for this, but I do it anyway.
One of my old work computers, and I've dedicated it just to the radio stuff now, so but it's still plenty good for that. I'm gonna give it some, so that's how I'm going.
Nothing wrong with what's on the radio and the programming, so I'm careful what I put on my work computer, but I watch the videos and then do it. So far, I hadn't had no trouble. The, like I said, the BridgeCom videos, they do explain it well. I've talked to their support a couple of times, and they're sharp guys. They can walk you through it if you get stuck.
So I'll start doing a little more research on it here, start adding in my own channels that I got instead of just what they sent on the radio.
Once you do it once and figure out how to flip it around in Excel and copy and paste it and everything, you can import and export it pretty quick. That's about the easiest way I found to do it.
Yeah, and practice makes perfect.
Talk about food made me hungry. I think I'm going to go in and get me some leftovers. Enjoyed the conversation again, Patrick. Hope your headache's better, and enjoy yourself on the rest of this day, and I'll catch you later. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear on your final.
4WHM, enjoy it as usual, and enjoy your leftovers there. I'll have to give that Guthrie's a try when I get down there, or I believe it was Guthrie's. KO4HKX, clear.
6ZLX.
ZLX, KO4HKX here.
6ZLX, thought you're taking the day off.
I haven't worked today. I'm on my base station at home right now. I'm watching Bridgecom videos on DMR.
Good old DMR. It took me a week to figure out just what the heck a code plug was, and then I realized, shoot, there's no difference than programming one of these other radios.
It's just got a little bit of different terminology so far from what I could tell, and then your colors or your CTS tones. I mean, that's what I'm seeing so far, but like I said, I've not done one myself yet.
Really, you can Google DMR repeaters in your area. There's actually a couple sites that'll tell you, for DMR, that'll tell you what's out where in your area, and it gives you the color codes and the and whether it's, look at my radar detector, got a fuzz buster up here somewhere. He's hiding, but I see you.
You're not speeding on 85 is my question.
And there's speeding.
Like the Autobahn down there, just give it all you got.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be the one guy that they make an example of.
What's your day today, Mike?
Oh, not too bad. And now I'm going home, and it's Friday.
Yeah, and it's supposed to rain tomorrow, so that'll limit the honeydew list anyway.
I was trying to convince the wife that we wanted to go out shopping tonight. I'd rather get it done tonight than tomorrow, but she says no, we're going to do it tomorrow.
Friends want to go look at houses tomorrow. We'll try to put up a modular home here in the next year if lumber prices will come back down any at all.
Maybe you can buy back that Matco truck and turn it into an RV.
That was my plan when I was done with it, but I'm done with it, but it's not in one piece.
Thank God you're still around to talk.
Bad. She hit me hard enough that it almost turned the truck over on the road right where it was at.
That'd been a pretty rough hit.
Floor in the box, bent the frame, knocked the rear end out from under it. Knocked the rear air brakes off, so I didn't have brakes. Stopped with the front end hanging over a bank right before I went into a building. So, yeah, it was a pretty rough ride.
Man, and the insurance is giving you a heck. That just stinks. 10-6 CLX for the ID.
RageKex for ID. Yeah, I've been on the phone with them today, and it was not a pleasant conversation. Now the total loss part of it is asking for payoff on the truck when they've already agreed to a price. They don't need it, but they're calling the lease company, and the lease company won't release the information without my okay, because they're asking for, have I ever been late on payments? They're asking for a lot of information that they have no business to.
It sounds like they're just doing the runaround, hoping that you'll give up.
Exactly what I think, too. I think they're just trying to do that and wait the little guy out. And in a way, it's working. It's aggravating, but I'm nowhere close to going out of business. I don't owe on anything but that tool truck, so I'm in a pretty good shape even to run my business the way it is. It's aggravating dragging a trailer around, but I can make do.
Hang in there, man. Hopefully you can buy one of those $1 million motorhome rigs and call that your tool truck after you're done.
And I'm not that guy, man, but they're just turning me into it, and I just so irritated with this whole process, and nobody seems to understand how important that truck is to my business.
They just don't care is what it is.
That too. They don't care. They want to say they do, but they don't care. You're just a number to them and a dollar sign.
That's why my father told me when I first got my own car, he said, I'll give you some advice. Go and get more insurance than what they're saying to get. And he says it's because if you have enough insurance and you paid for it, they will defend you in court.
But this is my own insurance company that's doing this to me. It's not the lady that hit me. She didn't have enough. So South Carolina minimums are a joke. If you're carrying minimum insurance down there, you couldn't even pay for the average new sedan.
Yeah, that's why I have uninsured, underinsured, I have it all. And then when the house got up in value and it's within a 6-8 years of being paid off, so I have enough equity that I said, okay, I need something more. So I went ahead and put an umbrella policy on the boot to cover me for someone doing something stupid then turning around and suing me.
Yeah, that's another problem. The lawyers, they don't want to do their job either.
Injury. It's business loss, and so they got nothing to win there.
Find somebody that'll give you information that you need to know. You forget that. You have to do all the digging yourself, and I'm not a lawyer, nor do I have the time or desire to want to be.
I can tell you a lot of lawyer jokes, but most of them aren't very clean.
Well, if it's got anything to do with lawyers or insurance company, it can't be clean.
Years ago, the divorce in Mississippi and the tornado have in common?
No, but this ought to be interesting.
Sure as heck, someone's losing a trailer.
Oh, that's a good one.
JW Mobile.
Go ahead, come on in, N6PLX.
Hey, Triple. I caught N6CLX, is that right?
Yep, N6CLX.
Dave here. Is Patrick still in there? I thought I heard his voice.
Dave, I'm right here.
Just sticking with lasagna, huh?
Probably what I'm going to have for this evening's dinner.
What? My edger at Lowe's. Now I'm going hunting at Zaxby's. Zaxby's Hill. Number 4 shot. Birdshot.
Like I said, you're guaranteed to catch something there.
So who's N6CLX? Hey, Mike.
CLX.
Hey, I may have doubled with you, Mike. Hey, Mike, W4DJW Dave. It sure is crowded over here in Greer for it being, you know, in volunteer quarantine or whatever. I guess all that's over with now. I don't get out much, but boy, is it crowded on White Hampton and Greer.
5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I'm surprised you're moving at all.
Do this, but I don't know, maybe springtime weather, or I don't know, something. No, I know what it is. My wife wanted Zaxby's tonight, that's what it is.
Like me, I'd say I'm 1 week into having had my second vaccination, so I'm 2 weeks from saying, from burning all the masks like they did the bras in the 70s.
Well, first one, when she gets her second one and she survives it, then I'll get my first one and second one. We figure one of us has to take care of the other one. If we don't want both of us to get sick at the same time.
I get new eyeglasses to cover that third eye that's growing.
Watch it.
I have not. I'll be 46 here shortly, so I don't think they've got down to my age group, or I haven't checked if they have.
You would take the vaccine here in South Carolina, and it's open to everybody, so just wait in line or make a reservation and go.
That's what my wife did. She got her first one now. Her second one's coming due here pretty quick. As soon as she gets that one, then I'll make a reservation and go.
Everyone handled it. I know people that didn't get sick with it, people that did get sick with it. Personally, I just felt like crap for a week.
Guys on here talking about, you know, somebody, their wives got sick, or they got sick, or they, you know, different things for everybody. Some people had no reaction.
And just, it felt like a real minor flu. No, not enough to put you in bed, but enough to aggravate you. And I, frankly, I'd rather have just spent time in bed.
I've heard people, it's harder on them. The second one is harder on them than the first one. I was hoping to get the one and done with Johnson & Johnson, but it doesn't look like that's happening.
All I know is I've got the second one now. I don't want to feel crappy for another week. Guys, I'm sitting in the driveway, and it's Friday. I'm going in. N6CLX. I'm going to be clear.
Hey, remember to take your antenna down this time. 732UKO4HKX.
Okay. I'll be clear after this. I was just opening the door to do that. N6CLX. I'm out of here.
Have a good weekend, W4DJW.
You got big plans this weekend?
A lot of airplane parts on the CNC machine, getting it all greased up and getting the ways lined up and the stepper motors heated and cutting out. So I was hoping, I heard it's going to rain tomorrow. Otherwise, I think they want to make a trip to the mountain. They still may want to make a trip to the mountain. But I got to take the dog to get her groomed in the morning. Might have to make a trip to the mountain. In between all that, I'll be making airplane parts on the CNC machine. How about you? You got plans for this weekend?
Major, probably go look at some modular homes. We bought some land here not too long ago. We're looking at putting a house up, but with lumber prices where they're at, we'll see what our other options are and what all we can do.
It reminds me of a picture that I saw on the internet, somebody buying wood. They said they had two pictures. Of one pickup truck was about to bust the tires. It was loaded down with wood. And it had $700 worth of wood in the 70s, and it was like busting the seams on the tires on the truck, and it was just piled all the way up to the top of the cab. And then it had $700 worth of wood in 2001, and it had a truck that had about three sheets of plywood in the back of it. That was about it.
Gotten a little out of hand, and I don't know where we're heading with a lot of this stuff. A lot of manufacturers are having shortages on components they need to do stuff now.
The lockdown stuff, yeah, it's probably going to take a while to recover from that. But the economy, you know, the stock market's doing pretty decent for everybody being out of work for such a long time. I guess because everybody's going back to work. I guess that's the reason that's the way it is.
Yes, but I'm not sure about that because, you know, I talk to different shops around, you know, transmission shops and this, that, and the other. They're struggling to get parts to fix these cars. And it's not just one vendor. It's everybody in different parts. You know, the computer stuff I kind of get because just like with the radios, the chip. But we're talking hard parts now that they can't get plastic resin and different things they need to make the parts with.
The delayed reaction, right? That's and if I go over here at Zaxby's and Greer, there are a whole lot of shadows you can get into. So if I just completely go away, wait till I roll up to the next car position, I might come back. Just a warning. But I guess there is going to be, like, delayed waves of certain parts, right? Kind of like nobody expected toilet paper to be gone off the shelves in the beginning. I guess there's going to be delayed waves of things that are missing that take a while to come back. Plus, there's going to be less competition, right? Because a lot of the competitors that weren't so good on their finances are probably gone, which means now the market's going to be bigger for the survivors. There's all kind of ways to look at it. W4DJW.
It's going to be survival mode, that's for sure, for a lot of businesses. But those that come through it will be much stronger. Must be in one of those dead spots.
I had a one of two, so I'm back. I've gone there for a minute. W4DJW.
Coming up here in the mountains for tomorrow.
The noise, there's some noise that's at, on several different repeaters. It just kind of wanders around, hunting for where that's being generated. Johnny was up there last night looking for it, and he, like, turned all of our equipment off, and it was still there. He even unplugged the antenna coax and everything, and it's still there. So we're just sure we're not generating that noise now. but now that's not the end of it. That means it's not at our hut, but it could be somewhere else on the mountain. So taking a RTL SDR dongle and a laptop up there with the scope on it to be able to see where it is, and a Yagi antenna to be able to point in different directions and drive toward that direction and point again until we narrow it down.
Little fox hunting. I know when my radio is just sitting here on the desk, no matter how high I turn the squelch, I get a pop at random, just continuously.
You know, if that's annoying to you, you can turn on the 88.5 tone and that'll go away completely. Well, I've got a recently set up APRS node that is doing the exact same thing yours is doing, the exact same thing that you just described. But I can't turn on 88.5 tone on it because APRS digipeater is not sending out 88.5 tone, so I'm stuck with it on mine. I just turn the volume all the way down. It's listening on the digital side anyway, so it doesn't. I don't need to hear it. But I know exactly what it is you're talking about.
For what it is, but the 991 is the only one that picks it up. The 5100 that's in the truck, it doesn't pick it up or any of my handhelds.
Much more sensitive receiver than the other ones.
But I was figuring, because this radio does a little better job of pulling the repeater in than the other ones do.
Sensitivity, and then there's selectivity. Right? Both of them are important. Maybe your other two are a little more selective, and the good one is less selective. Or it could be that this one's more sensitive and the other two are less sensitive. Who knows?
Like you say, though, I just turn the volume down when I'm not using it. Don't worry about it. Most of the time I turn it off when I'm not using it and unhook it, because I don't have it fully set up yet either. Still trying to. I just got it last week, so I'm still trying to get everything attached to where I want it and put where I want it.
Best thing to do anyway, especially this time of the year where thunderstorms are going to be coming up. And I don't ever do that. I turn mine on and leave them on. They stay on for years. And I have had a not lightning strike on the antennas, but lightning spike come in through the transformer for the underground line in the front yard that's shared on the five houses that are in the cul-de-sac. And it took out garage door, the electric part itself, and the some appliances like the washer and dryer. Forget what all else. Anyway, it got one piece of amateur radio equipment. I had a tuner, a long wire tuner that they use on sailboats in the attic, and it took that thing out. But other than that, knock on wood, the other stuff survived. It's got a floating ground because it's on the second floor. But it's good to, especially this time of the year.
Completely offline. The antenna's unhooked. I pull the cord on the power supply, everything, so nothing can get to it.
That's good, because that's what got mine. Mine came in on the power side, the electrical side, and just wiped out a whole bunch of stuff. And the bad thing is, I discover what was broken one at a time. Next time I use that, right? Like, discovered the garage door opener pretty quick. But some of the other things I didn't discover until a week later, because it's not stuff you use all the time. So, anyway, that happens. W4DJW.
4HKX. What do y'all think the noise is on the frequency on a repeater?
So there's no lack of imagination on people describing what they're thinking it is. It's anything from static buildup on antenna coax and charging capacitors inside amplifiers, that's one that it could be. It could be a local oscillator on somebody's equipment is no longer being temperature controlled and it's floating. And it could just be the exciter, not the actual transmitter, but the exciter could be floating around and it's making the transmitter actually float a signal somewhere else. It could be a lot of things. I don't know if you've ever, I know Steve, KB0KBJ, that jumps on here every now and then from South Dakota. One time he did a video. He had his HF antenna strung up, and he just disconnected the coax, and it laid down on the floor, it laid down next to the dryer, so that the center terminal was only like less than an inch from the dryer. And he noticed it was arcing. So he looked down there at it, and he got a really close look up on it, and then he saw a video in it, and he made a YouTube video, and it looked like one of those spark gap generators, or what do they call those things, the Van der Graaff spark generator. It looked like one of those things. And so you don't realize that there's that much static electricity in there. The wind was blowing, and it was like really dry where he was, and it was like he could weld with the end of his, he could weld some metal with the end of his coax connector. So there's just all kind of things going on. Nobody really knows what it is.
I'm just curious if y'all had an idea of what was causing it.
Too many ideas of what's causing it, and nobody really knows what's causing it.
The case.
I caught a bird at Zaxby's, actually a couple of them. It sure does smell good.
It usually smells really good. It tastes good, too. I know that Zaxby's right there in Greer every afternoon when I come through there, man. That thing is packed.
That's the way they were when I got there just a few minutes ago. They were lined up to the street. So you go by Zaxby's in Greer very often?
Wednesday and Thursday finish up right there in Greer. I'm in Greer all day Thursday, and Wednesday I'm over there in the afternoon.
Been around during the week in different towns?
So, I move around from I'm over in Easley on Wednesday morning. I come to Greer on Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday in Greer. Monday I'm in Traveler's Rest, and Tuesday I'm in Cherrydale.
A wide variety of visuals. There's another station in there. Go ahead.
RCL. He ain't working. He's riding around looking at the scenery.
Cool.
I was working. I just said I was riding around.
Hemmed up in an office all day long.
So that's one of the things I really love about this job is I get to move around. I'm not tied to one place. I see the same people every week for the most part, but I get to help with problems they're having, and I was a mechanic for 20 years before this, so I get to help on that side also, along with the tools they need.
I'm out a lot when I retire. I'm going to make up for lost ground, because I go to work in the morning, I don't see sunshine. Well, my dog barks about 4 o'clock, so we'll go out and get the mail, and that's about the only sunshine I get to see.
You on your way home from Steve's?
Kind of in a sort of roundabout way. I got to go by the other job over here and help them out. They're having some issues running the Cat 5, so I got to go by there and take care of that and then head to the house. And I'll be back over to Steve's in the morning and should get that finished up tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be a good day to work inside, that's for sure.
I don't know. I think I'd rather sit outside in the rain than hang 12-foot sheets of sheetrock.
You have some help.
House in my pocket, so I should be good.
I'm going to jump out of here. Good talking to you. Enjoy the weekend, W4DJW.
DJW, Dave, you have a good weekend. I hope you find what's going on with the repeater. And Russell, I'll keep on with you, KO4HKX.
73 to you, and I am fixing to pull in this other job, so I'm going to be off the radio here just a little bit, but I'll call back once I get back on the road.
Found KO4HKX, monitoring.
Mobile.
10-4-HKX, Patrick.
Evening, Patrick. Hope you're doing well.
We're better now. Had a headache earlier today. This insurance company stressed me out.
Insurance company give me a headache, whether I have to deal with them or not. It's just a pain to deal with. They don't mind taking your money all those years, and then when you need them for something, they sure don't want to pay out.
Well, that, and then the lawyer doesn't seem to be doing his job either, so I had everybody on a multi-way call but him, because he's not working today.
That sounds like a job in itself. Thankfully, I never had a big issue with it, but I have had them from time to time. But, they're hard to deal with sometimes. They just, I don't know how it's handled in North Carolina, but the Public Service Commission handles insurance stuff here in South Carolina, and it seems like they're most of the time they're on the side of the insurance company, not on the side of the insured.
Well, that's been part of the problem to start with, is a wreck happened in North Carolina. A wreck happened in South Carolina. My business is based in North Carolina. They didn't know which way to go with it. I'm like, the wreck happened in South Carolina, truck's in South Carolina. Let's go with South Carolina. Move on.
Sounds like you might need to escalate it up to another notch to get somebody's attention on it. I don't know which companies you deal with, but I used to know a couple of guys that were pretty high up on the insurance commission here in South Carolina, but I think they're all retired now. I called one of them one time about an issue I was having with a company, and all of a sudden I got a call the next day and it got resolved. I don't think he's on the commission anymore. But I hate you having to deal with this. Bad enough to have to deal with not having your vehicle.
Yeah, it's getting aggravating pulling that trailer around, but I can make it work. So I guess that's what I'm going to keep doing. They think they're going to wait me out, but I got another story for them.
Your feet trying to get you to settle on less. That's a typical situation. My daughter was, somebody T-boned my daughter. She was in line, and she was in a two-lane road, and somebody stopped to let somebody out to cross into one of those things where somebody stops at a light screen, and they let them pass through to cross over into the oncoming traffic, and they whammed her, and they acted like it was her fault. I said, it ain't your fault. I said, they didn't have any business doing it, and they finally got it, but gosh, it took several months to get it straightened out. It was a Toyota van, which they still drive it, but it took months to get it straightened out and to get everything fixed on it correctly. But I had an issue one time when one was T-bone. When one was total, they didn't want to pay the value of the car. I said, look, I said, how long was the average retail value of the car? I said, if you can't give me that, I said, we got a problem. I don't replacement value, anything like that, but the insurance company over the other guy, they were at fault, and I finally called an agent, my agent here in town, said, if you don't get it done, I said, I'm going to get somebody else involved in it. And there again, they settled pretty quickly after that, but it's just, they try to avoid paying out claims or pay it as much as they can. I mean, I understand. People have a job to do, but when it's somebody else's fault, that's pretty much it.
It's going to be one of my next calls is to the North Carolina and South Carolina State Insurance Commissions.
That's what I do. And I'll check around. I think a guy I know is retired now. I'm about sure he's the last time I had any claims, probably 20 years ago. I'm sure he's retired now. But there are a couple of guys I may be able to get, maybe get some numbers from. But generally speaking, if you take it directly to the commission, they'll generally take care of things. But the coverage depends on individuals not doing that. And a lot of these companies, they, you know, have you sign over stuff, so you can't, you have to agree to, after you can't sue them, you have to agree to arbitration, that sort of thing. That really puts you in a handicap sometimes. It just depends on the company and that sort of thing, I guess. But I imagine all of them do that now.
The total loss and claims department of Allstate now says that the lien holder needs to release private information that they have no business to, like whether I'm late on payments or have had any problems or my financial status. They don't need any of that information. They don't need the price of the truck. All they need to know is who to cut the check to. And they have agreed to amount, cut the check. And so that's what the holdup is today, and then the lawyer's not there, so I can't get him involved to do his job.
I just stepped up somebody by accident on the wrong side of the radio, NT7J. Apologize.
Okay. Patrick, I got all that. I don't think that's just typical. You know, that's what they do. But hopefully you can get in touch with your lawyer on Monday and let him know what's going on and see if he can help out with it, too. That stuff is just, that's basically just trying to harass you and trying to get you to settle with them. And you know, that's got absolutely nothing to do with it. And, you know, they can get a lot of that information, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's not going to make one big difference in the claim, but, you know, why they do stuff like that. And like I said, I'd sell, if I could afford to self-insure, I'd self-insure, but you can't afford to do it without, especially if somebody else, if you're at fault, you can't afford to do that. But otherwise, it's just it's a racket.
This is in calling station. Go ahead.
On the wrong repeater, so I just apologize for stepping on somebody there, I think, maybe, but maybe not. So anyway, ND7J, just almost to the house.
Have a good trip, 7-3. What you out doing this week?
Semi-busy today. I've been out a couple times today. Went to Lowe's and Home Depot yesterday, so I've been getting out about more so than I have been. And I set up a little different antenna here today. It's not, didn't work as good as the other one does, but it's a lot more compact, and I can work, I can do my V-Star on it on 440 and do a fair on 2 meters. I'm sure I'm pretty scratchy into the repeater. I'm not receiving quite as well as it was when I was using my beam. I don't really have a great location for it yet, but I'm going to get a little more coax, a little bit longer coax, and kind of move it around a little bit, see if I can get a little, you know, get into the repeater a little bit better than I am.
Solid into the repeater. So I don't know what...
And if that's the case, I'm running about 25 watts, I think, so I'm running into just a little 2 meter, 440 gram plane. So if it's working fine, I don't need to do anything else. It doesn't take up as much room as the other antenna I had upstairs here. And I'm thinking about getting a mast or something, maybe another mast to mount it, maybe outside. I can get somebody down here to, I've got some electrical guys that were supposed to come maybe in the next month or so, and they got to do some electrical work for me. And I think I'm going to get them to put me a box on the outside of the house to run the coax through, and I'm going to get them also to get them to run me an outlet, you know, to the outside so I can run my generator out there in case we have a pilot. I don't need to run the house, but just so I can connect the generator up to, through the wall, you know, without having it sitting inside or anything like that. You know, just a little gas generator running the refrigerator or whatever else we need to survive for a day or so.
The generator backs the whole house up. Got a real good deal on it several years ago. The guy took it out and needed money, so I bought it. It's a propane generator. Back, like I said, it's got the automatic transfer switch, and it backs the whole house up.
Real close to buying one of those a few years back, and I decided not to, because at the time we were thinking about moving, and I didn't want to have to deal with it. Deal with it, you know, and moving it, because I wasn't going to let it go with the house. But those things are better. You know, that's by far the best solution to any meth. Because it does a self test once a month. Is that correct, Patrick? N4DJC for ID.
There's one once a week. It comes in and it's called an exercise once a week.
That's the best way. You know, those things are, if you've got, getting the thing set up through the house is the big deal. But if you've got I've got natural gas, so I can run one off natural gas. So I've already got everything run if I needed to have it. But, I thought very seriously about doing it. We don't have that much problem with it, but if we decide to stay here, we haven't decided yet, we decide to stay in this location, that'd be the next step, and it's not terribly expensive, really. And sure, it beats gas, that's for sure. That's for real.
It's nice having propane. You don't have to worry about gas going bad or clogging up the carburetors or anything like that. So it is definitely nice there.
The thing too, Patrick, and I know, I'm guessing this is still the case, but you even with natural gas, if the power stays off long enough, you know, the gas will not flow. I mean, if you got propane, you don't have to worry about it, but natural gas still has, you know, they have basically like pumping stations and that sort of thing where, and valves, I think some of the valves are electronically controlled. And if it's for a long period of time, you know, if we had a real serious problem in the future, you know, propane would be more efficient, but you wouldn't have to worry about a lapse in power.
Still got its weakness because you got to be able to get somebody here to fill the tanks and stuff like that, so that's still going to be a problem.
How big a tank you got?
It runs the furnace and the generator, that's all, and the cook stove, that's it.
That's a good bit. Like I said, we got natural gas, but this is pretty cheap right now. I don't know where it's going to go up. I imagine it's going to go up along with everything else. If some of the people get their way. But I like natural gas, propane gas for heat especially. Yeah, I got a heat pump downstairs, and the worst decision I ever made when I replaced my gas furnace. I won't make that mistake again.
I really like my gas furnace. I come from wood heat, so there was no way I could go over to a heat pump. I'd have froze to death.
Yeah, we were, at the time I replaced it, natural gas was going up to whatever the thing, it was going to double or triple in price. And I got scared and I went to a heat pump and you know, what I need to do is just replace the builder's unit I had and give me a good, an efficient air conditioner and get a more efficient furnace. And if I'd done that, I'd been happy. That's what I've got upstairs. But I could have put a heat pump upstairs and it probably would have been okay, but downstairs, it was a serious mistake. It would freeze all winter long, and we don't have a fireplace or gas logs or anything like that. And told my wife, I said, even if it's almost pretty close to 15 years old now, it's not that I want it to give out, but I said, when that thing does give out, if I mention a heat pump, I said, you slap me. I thought very soon about putting a dual fuel unit in. Because the heat pump is efficient down to about 40 degrees. But when it gets below 40 degrees or even 50 sometimes, that thing ain't worth 2 cents. It's 68 degrees. If it can blow at 68 degrees, it's a far cry from the 120 you get out of a gas furnace.
I don't know. It's hard to beat a wood heat to me. I mean, there ain't nothing no warmer.
About that, nothing beats it, especially if you don't mind getting there. You could probably cut your own wood, but I'm too old to do any wood cutting. But I used to have a bunch of it. I used to keep a bunch of it down on my lake lot. I'd have five, six, seven cords of wood sitting in there all the time. We used it to cook down there. You know, we had a big We had to deal with wood, do cookouts and stuff down there. We used wood to cook on down there for outdoor cooking. And we kept wood down there for years and years. It'd dry out. It'd be nice and dry. Then we used to bring it back down from here on Harwell. We used to take it back up to Fort Mill to use in our house up there for firewood. And that oak's been sitting out there under shelter for 18 or 20 months. That stuff, I mean, it burns good then.